Hello and welcome to The Cryptid Catalog, a podcast for monster lovers young and old. Before we jump in, I want to mention some of the themes in today's story. Cryptid Catalog tries to cover stories in a kid-friendly manner, but every listener has a different threshold. So to make sure this story is suitable for your listeners, here are some things that you can expect to hear in today's story. Today's show contains stabbing. If all of that sounds intriguing, then sit back, get a little cozy, and come with us as we open up the Cryptid Catalog. Killian, picture this. Your heart is pounding as you leap over a fallen tree. You hear the thunder of a stampeding feet chasing you as you run through the forest. A loud whistle sound screeches in your ear just a second before you see a poison arrow splinter into a tree trunk right beside your head. You glance over your shoulder and catch a glimpse of a goblin-like creature chasing you. Killian.
Goblin.
What is this creature?
Goblin?
No. It is a puckwudgie. Let's open up the Cryptid Catalog and find out more. Okay, so before we begin today's episode, I wanted to do a little bit of, it's something called housekeeping. First, I want to apologize to Ella Grace. Ella is actually who suggested our Bloody Mary episode, and we didn't thank them for their suggestion last week. So here we are, formally thanking Ella. What do you want to say?
Thank you, Ella, but my, do you know why we didn't thank you last week? It was because my mom really does not like that game.
That's not why we didn't thank them. We didn't thank them because Daddy forgot to type up the thank you, and if it's not typed up, Mommy forgets. But maybe Mommy forgot because she was so scared. And it clouded my judgment. And today's episode was suggested by our friends, Evan, Caleb, and Noah.
So my friend Caleb?
No, not your friend from school, Caleb. Yeah. At least I don't think so. But thank you guys for suggesting the puckwudgie.
It's like a goblin that just gives out wedgies.
That is a good guess. Hold on to that because we still have some more housekeeping to go through before we start into the story. Okay?
Okay.
So bear with me. So this is actually going to be our last episode of 2022. It is not the last episode of Cryptid Catalog ever. Just the last episode of 2022. Because we are going to take December off from posting episodes so that we can enjoy some family time. So because we're very busy in December.
We are.
We have to go a million places.
I'm thinking about going to Indiana this year.
News to me. Anyway, but we are going to record a special Q&A episode. So if you have some questions for me or Killian or maybe even Dylan, please keep an eye on our Instagram, which is at The Cryptid Catalog. For posting request for questions, or just go ahead and email us at thecryptidcatalog@gmail.com. That's also the email that you guys can use to send in suggestions because we are actually taking a break from posting in December, but we are going to record some 2023 episodes during December while Killian is on break from school. So
Because I'll have all month to...
Not the whole month.
Okay, geez.
Close to it.
I don't know.
A couple weeks. Yeah. Anyway, so if we have not gotten to your suggestion already, don't worry. 2023 is going to be a time to continue doing suggestions. And then also, if you have a suggestion that maybe you haven't sent in yet, go ahead and send it because we're starting to fill up 2023.
Hey.
What?
I got a question.
What's your question?
Will we ever meet? Hey, are we gonna build up seasons all the way to 100 and do even more?
Who's to say? Okay, so I think that's enough for housekeeping. Now, on to the episode. So, Killian, have you ever heard of the puck wedgie before?
No clue.
Okay. So, up in the northeastern forests of America and Canada, the puck wedgie make their home. Originally found in Native American lore, the puck wedgie are said to be about 3 feet tall, goblin-like humanoids with smooth gray skin.
I know people that are kind of like that. Lizard people.
Sure.
They live in the sewer. But they live in the sewer.
Okay.
They actually live underground.
That's news to me. All right. So they have long spikes on their backs like porcupines and are mean-spirited creatures. They live in small tribes, use magic, and hunt together.
I like that they have magic.
Mm-hmm. They enjoy keeping to themselves, too. Puckwudgies loosely translate, like the word puckwudgie, loosely translates to persons of the wilderness. And they are often noted for being mischievous, and they love to play tricks on unsuspecting travelers.
Well, I've heard of this on one of my TV shows I watch, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like the puckwudgie.
Mm-hmm.
They use magic.
Uh-huh.
And they like to play tricks.
Do you know what they're called?
They're called imps.
They are a lot like imps. Okay, yeah. I can see that.
They play their tricks on Halloween mm-hmm. Eve.
I think the only really big difference is I think that puckwudgies sound like they're slightly bigger, and the puckwudgies do have the spikes, and that seems to be a big, big difference, a big visual difference.
Yeah.
So, the Native American tribe, the Wampanoag, which I hope I said that right, has a story for why the puckwudgies are mischievous, they are as mischievous as they are.
Ooh.
Would you like to hear it?
Ooh, yes.
Okay. So, a long, long time ago, the Wampanoag tribe lived in harmony with the puckwudgies. Farming together, hunting together, and just enjoying each other's company for years and years. Now the Wampanoag believed in many different spirits, and one of those spirits was named Maushop. Again, I hope I'm saying that right.
Weird name, but
the Maushop was a giant deity. He was kind and loving, and he even helped to create the peninsula that we know as Cape Cod. The puckwudgies began to grow jealous of the relationship between the Wampanoag tribe and the Maushop. So the puckwudgies started to cause mischief to get attention. That sounds like someone else I know.
That is not me, G.
So you don't think you cause mischief to get attention? You've never once caused mischief to get attention? Uh-huh.
That's
your silence
true.
Is deafening. Not knowing what to do, the Wampanoag tribe asked the Maushop's wife for help. After telling her husband, Maushop picked up the puckwudgies and threw them miles and miles away from the Wampanoag tribe, exiling them forever. I know.
That man just threw them.
He was a giant, remember?
Oh.
Yeah, he's a giant.
So he was like, rah!
Yep, threw him away.
I played in the playground.
Yeah.
That's how you play Area 51, and I was fighting a shark, and then I threw it into
Are there
the
many
sky.
Sharks in Area 51?
No, it was just...
Oh, crossover.
You had to pass a stream, and there were sharks in the stream.
Okay. So ever since then, oh no, I skipped a part. Things were calm and easy for the Wampanoag tribe for a long time until the puckwudgie suddenly returned. And when they came back angry. The puckwudgie burned down tribal homes, destroyed crops, and even murdered Maushop and his family. Ever since then, the Wampanoag and the other tribes in the area have given the puckwudgie their distance, fearful that the creatures could attack them again. Puckwudgies, it sounds like, can be pretty nasty, can't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Even today, folks that live near the deep forests of the Northeast warn hikers and travelers to watch out for the puckwudgie and even give them a wide berth if they see one hunting in the forest. They even have yellow caution signs in the forest warning drivers that the puckwudgie are known to be in the area.
Jesus, like Area 51, there's...
Sure. We're into Area 51 lately.
They have caution signs everywhere.
That is, you're absolutely correct. So yes, in that way,
Some people don't listen.
Nuh-uh. We said that the puckwudgie were tricksters. What kind of tricks do you think the puckwudgie like to play?
Really, the only one I know I think they would do is give people out wedgies.
You know what? That's so funny. I think that, you know what? How do we know? We've never seen one. So how do we know they don't give wedgies? So you know what? You could be absolutely correct.
Because literally they're called puck wedgies.
Not puck wedgies. Puck wudgie. But the wedgie thing is still funny.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay, so apparently the puckwudgie delight in pushing people off of high cliffs.
My God.
I know. They are skilled marksmen with bows and arrows, and they delight in stealing children. These are not harmless pranks, people. These are intense things.
People, this is what Dracula did in Hotel Transylvania to Van Helsing. He pushed him off a cliff.
Ah, I was like, where are we going with that one? They can create orbs of fire, and then they are said to use those orbs to lure foolish hikers away from the trail so they can get lost in the woods and never be seen again. Some puckwudgies even have the power to turn invisible. They will stalk into lonely campsites deep in the woods and begin banging sticks and screaming, waking up campers and scaring them. Before I read you a story, and this is me going off the script a little bit because I know this information. If any of our listeners, older listeners, parents, guardians, adults, watch the show, The Originals, a puckwudgie is in The Originals.
Season 4, episode 6.
Oh, you looked it up?
It was on the Wikipedia
page. Oh, I was like, you looked it up? And he goes invisible. Like, that's his thing.
Who's
anyway, saying? The puckwudgie.
Is he as tricky in that show as he is here?
Well, they misjudge that they think he's bad, but then I don't remember. I just hit the thing. It wasn't he wasn't kicking children off of cliffs, so.
Okay.
All right. At least they weren't kicking children off cliffs.
Are you ready for a story?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. This one is called The Creature of the Deep Woods. Carlos's dream was simple. When he was little, he became obsessed with hiking. When he was 8, he went on a trip with his family to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. They walked a small part of something called the Appalachian Trail. Carlos marveled at the hikers with their large packs filled with camping supplies, talking about how they were hiking from Georgia to Maine in one long hike that took months and months. Ever since that trip, Carlos trained with his family, hiking every trail they could find to help Carlos prepare for the day that he could hike the full Appalachian Trail all by himself. Carlos wanted to test how strong he could be both physically and mentally. He wanted to be just like the hikers that he met so long ago. Carlos's plan was simple. He would go to college, get his bachelor's degree in political science and history, then he would work at Starbucks the entire time to save up enough money to fund his trip, and he could live at home with his parents while he did it. Once he graduated in December, he would start his hike in April in Georgia, and then take the 6 to 7 months to hike all the way up the Appalachian mountain range until he was in Maine. Then he would catch a plane and fly home to prepare for law school. It was perfect. Carlos lived with his parents, worked at Starbucks, saved his money, and graduated magna cum laude with a double major in history and political science in December, just like he planned. In April, his parents drove him to the Springer Mountain in Georgia, kissed him farewell, and watched him walk beneath the stone arch and into the lush forest alone and ready for the trip of a lifetime. Carlos kept a steady pace, meeting different people from all over the world on the different trails that spread across the states as he went. He faced wicked cold snaps, fought off a rattlesnake, and even heard his name being called out in the middle of the night. But knowing the stories of voices in the forest, he closed his eyes, safe in his tent, and went back to sleep. 6 months into his journey, something strange happened. Carlos was rounding a particularly rocky section of the trail in Vermont when he heard a loud rustling in the bushes to his right. Turning to look, he rubbed his eyes in disbelief. There, floating above the bush, was a small ball of fire. Entranced by the orb, Carlos stepped off the trail and began to follow it. Deeper and deeper into the thick forest, Carlos followed the flame, until the sharp jab of a blade struck him into his stomach.
Okay, that's way too inappropriate.
No, it's not. Until the sharp jab of a blade struck into his stomach. Snapping out of a trance, Carlos screamed, the sound swallowed by the trees around him. There were three strange goblin-like creatures with gray skin, pointed ears, and backs covered in porcupine spikes circling him. They held spears with carved arrowheads at the end of them. Carlos pulled back and began to run away, trying his best to get to where he had come from. A ball of fire whizzed past Carlos's ear, exploding in a tree trunk, sending sparks flying. The strange gray creatures screeched out orders to one another, and he heard them separate. Carlos knew he was going to be surrounded soon. Stealing a glance over his shoulder, Carlos was suddenly aware that the ground beneath him had disappeared. He was tumbling down a muddy hillside, his backpack crushing into him as he rolled and came to a stop atop a pile of rocks. His body was hurting, but nothing felt broken. Carlos looked up at the hill and saw the three creatures looking down at him, a devilish gleam in their eyes. Just as the middle one began to descend, it was quickly grabbed on its shoulders by the other two. They screeched to one another again and disappeared over the top of the hill. Carlos exhaled in relief. He felt the cold, wet mud covering his body and rested his head on the hard stone. Then a stick snapped to his left. Opening one eye, Carlos saw a large black bear wandering towards him. Carlos lay still. The black bear nudged his foot with its snout, sniffing and snorting in distaste. The bear nudged playfully at Carlos's stomach. Carlos lay perfectly still, petrified with fear. For whatever reason, the bear snorted one last time and then turned and wandered back into the forest. Carlos lay there for a long time, taking in the chaos of the last few minutes. He eventually got up and made a small camp for the night. The morning came quick, and it came cold. In the morning light, Carlos found his way back to the Appalachian Trail. He spent 5 days alone on the trail before finding another set of hikers. Explaining what happened, Carlos was shocked to find out that he'd encountered something called a Pukwudgie, and that he was very lucky to be alive. Carlos finished the trail and flew home. He still loved hiking and adventuring in the forest, but he always kept his guard up, always watching for floating balls of fire and, of course, black bears. That's it.
Okay.
What'd you think of that story?
That was kind of inappropriate and stuff.
How is it inappropriate? Because it said stabbing?
No, it said because it said that there was a spear going through his stomach. No way.
Yes, I did give that warning at the beginning of this episode, though.
Okay, yeah.
So what do you think about the Pukwudgie?
He's kind of cool.
I think he's pretty cool. I think they sound pretty dangerous, though, if we're not careful.
What is the...
Don't read the paper ahead of time. Don't read it ahead of time. What is the scariest thing about them?
That they kick off people off cliffs.
Mm-hmm. If you saw one, would you go near it?
Never. Never, ever.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
The only space I would let it take is, like, one pace away from me.
One pace away? Okay, that's fair. All right. Well, that is the end of November. Goodness gracious, I'm so confused already. We will post about when we need Q&A questions for December. But other than that, we will see you guys in 2023, right? Mm-hmm. With all new cryptids, all new monsters, all new stories. Yes?
Yes.
All right. So that's it.
And they better be ultra scary stories, Daddy.
All right. Thank you for listening. I am Karina.
I'm Killian.
And this has been...
Also Dylan.
This has been...
The Cryptid Catalog.
Until next time, remember...
The cryptids are watching. End.
Thank you for listening to The Cryptid Catalog. This show is hosted by Karina and Killian Beamesterfer. Written, researched, and edited by Dylan Beamesterfer. And the music was created and performed by Will Shelton. Grown-ups, if you would like to help support the show, please take a second to finish out the episode and listen to some ads.